Okay. Any other gestures you want to make, Karen? I mean, okay. I want to talk a little bit about freedom. Upon which syllable are you focused? Okay, and just for reference sake, I'll say that I'm focused on the first syllable, okay, which is free. And in reality, that's who we are. We are created free. We are free. The soul is free. What does that mean? Okay, but it is free from the bounds and the influences of the negativity of thought, emotion, feelings, imagination, the unconscious, if it so chooses. In other words, it is boundless. The soul is boundless. Okay? And what we do is we play dumb. We either forget that we're free, because regardless of the karma, this is important, regardless of the karma that's upon us, okay, there's always grace. Okay, and grace, the way of grace means that, hey, guess what? The soul always has a way to be with God if it so chooses. That God meets us as soon as we focus into God, into our freedom. We're free as soon as we focus into that freedom. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to be worthy of it. We are inherently worthy of our freedom. The soul is free. And like good human beings everywhere, we've managed to put ourselves in bondage. Okay? And I don't know how many of you are biblical scholars and have caught this, but I deliberately called it freedom. And I'm sure most of you thought it had to do with dumb, D-U-M-B. And that's a part of it, okay? But the other part has to do with don't, just what that word is, D-O-M. Okay? How many of you, anybody know what that is? Well, you know, I can set my calendar by it. I'll always know what time of the year it is. If, because once or twice a year, somebody always invariably comes up to me and says, oh, Dr. Lane, I went to a Seder and I'm not even Jewish and I really liked it. Okay, well, if you really liked it, then you'll know what Dom is. Okay, because Dom is the one of the plagues. It's the first plague. Okay, and it has to do with the River Nile being set into blood. Okay, in other words, the waters of life run through Egypt land, our bondage. There's always God here. There's always grace. There's always the Holy Spirit or the sound current. The waters of life are always present. And we turn it into death, and we kill ourselves. And how do we kill ourselves? But we kill ourselves by playing dumb, D-U-M-B. And how do we play dumb? Oh, very easily. We think that there are no consequences to what we do. We think that we can honestly get away with our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions and engage in them, and that we're not responsible for them. We think we'll never be at the effect of them. Okay, but I defy anybody in this room, or even in phone land, to tell me that any of your negative patterns, thoughts, feelings, emotions, confluence of all of them, began this lifetime. In other words, they're so powerful that they carry over. They have a momentum. They have a charge. And we play dumb if we don't think we're going to be at the effect of it, that we're creating this negativity and we're creating our embodiments. And we play dumb if we think, okay, well, I'm spiritual and I'm doing this work and I'm doing this path and I'm doing exactly what I'm told to do. But I'll continue to treat people in such a way, and I'll not be straight in business, and I'll engage in this and I'll engage in that. That's being dumb. I don't exercise eternal vigilance. That's being dumb. It's so easy to slip into negative patterns, and because they have power and they like to engage the lower self, and we have to monitor ourselves and we have to pay the price of freedom, and that's eternal vigilance. You know, it's interesting because Independence Day is coming up. Well, that's nice, but can that give you independence? I mean, great fireworks, I guess, probably some good hot dogs and burgers and stuff like that. Okay, but what is that going to do for you? Okay, we didn't want to pay the tax, the tea tax, so we revolted because we had no representation. There was taxation without representation. Okay, we were taxed and we had no representation, so we revolted. Okay, good. What does the consciousness do? Okay. We're already represented in the highest heaven. Our soul sits there. You're in the body, but that's the outcropping. Most of you are in the inner worlds. 90% of your consciousness is in the inner worlds. If you could see it, you would know it's not engaged in this. It just kind of has a life of its own, okay? But it's bound. See? And by the thoughts, by the emotions, by, as it were, the karma that we create, that's the bondage. That's what happens in Egypt land. Okay? But we know there's a way home. Okay? God's provided a way home. That's the sound current path. But guess what? That's the strengthener in doing exactly what we're talking about, focusing into the spirit that you are and upon the freedom. And there's always choice. We have choice. You know, we think our thoughts, oh my God, they're upon us. And our imaginations and our feelings, they seem so real, you know, and they seem so real because they sit in the consciousness very close to the physical. So like people have a nightmare, they can't tell the difference. You know, seems so real. Well, it is so real because it sits so close to our consciousness. We have thoughts, we have feelings, okay? And we engage them. And that's the key word, engage them. And when we engage with them, we're engaging in dumbness. That creates the state of dumb, that creates the rivers of life becoming dead. See? Because we're not responsible for what goes through us. You know, Edward beats me in a foot race, which is hard to believe, and I get angry. Okay, that's one thing. It's gone. Bingo. All right? But if I continue to hold anger and resentment, then I'm creating karma. You know, and then don't you just love it when people say, oh, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. I'm not going to let her get away with that or him get away with that. Well, that's nice. And what you're saying is, I'm really a dummy. I'm going to choose to enslave myself. And I'm going to use that person to enslave myself. Boy, I'm really giving that person the business. No, you're giving yourself the business. See, but if you want to focus on freedom, then you forgive. That's another way we're free. Forgiveness, it's one of the great keys, and it's about giving, and it's about giving the spirit to yourself. It's for giving. You are forgiving, okay? And the spirit gives. And it's very important to forgive. So, you know, when people walk around going, well, only Jesus could forgive. Well, no, not only Jesus could forgive, because he told us that that which is in me is in you too. So that which I hold in my consciousness, you have also. So my ability to forgive, you have that same ability. That's part of being free. See? And so many of us play dumb by thinking in really materialistic sense that this is all there is, you know? And when you go to the grave, that's it, folks. Or you're going to go and see God. That's not going to happen, you know? Matter of fact, just the opposite is true. You know, you're free, and the soul lives free. Now, how can there be such a thing as death? What's this insanity about? Oh, everybody believes in it. Must be true. Oh, you're focusing on dumbness. Everybody thinks it's so. Therefore, it is so. Not at all. Okay? Everybody feels I should do this. Okay? But I really know that when I stay in my integrity, I need to do this. Well, being free is staying in your integrity. Never mind conventional think or group think or any of that stuff. Okay, and playing dumb also is pretending you don't know what something means. Like if something is required, you can't pretend, oh, I think it just means suggested or strongly recommended or strongly suggested. You know, you don't have to be an Ivy League graduate to know what that word means. Okay, but we can play that, and that's what we do in our consciousness. We play all these games with ourselves. And we rationalize and we make things okay. Okay, and we don't hold ourselves responsible. And then when the soul leaves the body, gets to see what it's created, and it goes, oh, wait a second, Lord. I didn't know I was responsible. And then once again, it's ignorance of the law is no excuse. Yeah, you are responsible. We are responsible. You know, and the interesting thing about how the whole system has been set up is I can have this thought that separates me from God. I can have this anger, seemingly at Edward for beating me at a foot race, that separates me from the spirit I am. I may not be at the effect of it for another 20, 30, 40, 50 lifetimes, and then I've forgotten the link. And not only did I forget the link, but guess what I've done? I've forgotten that I'm the creator of that. You see? And dumbness has very much to do with the way the consciousness is set up, that we tend to think that what we see in the mirror is real. And not only do we tend to think that that stuff is real, but we've forgotten that we've created those things. Okay? So, if I think that, oh, God has to be pleased and I have to earn his love, okay, that's my creation, okay? But because of how the consciousness works, I'll see it in the mirror and it gets reflected back to me, except because I'm under karma or I'm being dumb, guess what happens? Oh, that's an objective reality. I have to earn God's love. That's the nature of God. And you don't have the wit to know you've been caught in the negative worlds, in the negative polarity, in the mirror. And you don't have the wit to know that, hey, you've created that thought, and you don't know it's a thought, and you don't know anything about the power that you have. So you come back 20, 30 years, lifetimes later, and guess what? Well, let me atone for something. So I'll be a nun, or I'll be a priest, or I'll be this, or I'll be that, or I'll be a penitente and have a vision of God as this, you know, very difficult thing, austere thing that I have to then go and appease, you know? And I'll live my life like that. But you're at the effect of something you created a long time ago. See? So freedom has a lot to do with being aware of the power you have. And that power is in co-creation, co-creating with God. God himself lives in you as you. Anything other than that is playing dumb. See? And being free has a lot to do really with what I teach, which is allowing God to love you. Allowing that love doesn't have to be earned. Can't be bought. Can't be anything other than caught. So you allow God's love because that's your nature. That's who you are. How could God not love himself? Impossible. Okay, and yet we walk around pretending that it's not so, that we are unlovable, we're powerless and kicked out of the garden. That's dumb, and that causes the Dom condition. The rivers of life don't flow anymore. See? And there is something called the Holy Spirit or the sound current or the rivers of life, whatever you want to call it, which is the extension of God in this world that animates everything, and it's all God. And when we forget there's only God, that's the essential truth. There is only God. And when we forget that, okay, we've moved into slavery. We've enslaved ourselves. Okay? Nobody enslaves us. We enslave ourselves. Okay? But we're free, so we've forgotten our true nature. And there's no intellectual understanding needed at all about freedom. The soul's not bound. We're not bound. We're not conditioned. Okay, at each moment, we can choose freedom. We can choose to be with God. We've done enough conditioning. I mean, you're being at the effect of what you've created. You've conditioned your reality. And each moment, guess what? You can choose the freedom, but you have to pay the price, which is being vigilant. Because it starts to get insidious in there, in your consciousness. It starts to get very insidious when you start making this okay and that okay and that okay and this okay and start rationalizing and start rationalizing and start rationalizing. Okay, and I'm not suggesting you be an austere monitor of yourself. Not at all. I'm just suggesting the opposite. You know, that we celebrate God within us at all times. Okay, but you can't celebrate God within when you start to engage in rationalizations of your consciousness away from God. Okay? In other words, if you've loaned me a dollar, I can rationalize not paying you back because you were mean to me at some time. Okay, well, we've enslaved ourselves. Okay, I can rationalize cheating you because you've done something to me in the past. We've enslaved ourselves. Okay, so part of freedom is being present, choosing to be present at each moment. And it doesn't matter what the history is, because when you're in history, we know you're in time. And when you're in time, you're in karma. Okay, and that's the way of the world. I mean, they say the president of the United States is the most powerful position in the world. But I've never seen a president of the United States, unless he holds as a soul a spiritual office, free any soul. Or help that soul be free. Okay, so you, each of you, everybody, every soul has more power than the president of the United States. No, the Democrats ain't going to do it for you. The Republicans ain't going to do it for you. The Libertarians ain't going to do it for you. The Greenpeace Party ain't going to do it for you. The Free the Whale Party ain't going to do it for you. Pat Paulson ain't going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for you. Okay, we're responsible. And that's part of our freedom, and that's part of the joy. We're responsible for our freedom or for maintaining that. Okay, but, you know, the Christ opened the door, the bridge to the other side, and established a way home. And we as souls have that opportunity to take that. Okay, well, let's not play dumb and pretend the door ain't open. The door's open. Okay, let's not pretend that God's grace isn't ever present, because it is. Okay, but we have to be receptive to His grace. And we can't be receptive when we run agendas, our own version of things, or what we want. But we have to stand empty. And we stand empty before the Father. We let go. That's what we need to do. We have to be made empty so we can receive and be made full. Being full is being filled with Spirit, with God. What a blessing that is. You know, I've been with people out to dinner, we'll call in the light of the Most High. And it's a terrible thing, because then we feel like sending the food back. Who needs to eat? You know, we feel so full from having called in the light. And we are full with it, and we are sustained by it. It's the light that sustains us. Okay, but it's our job to nourish that. You know, and God, in His kindness and His mercy, He's given us a way home. He's given us a way to remember that we are free. He's given us a way not to be enslaved to the Pharaoh unto Egypt. And the thing that always amazes me is, and it's interesting because in most of this Passover Seders, that particular part is cut out. When the Pharaoh is petitioned to free the people, they always present it like that. But he's really petitioned to free the Jewish people so that they can serve Him, God. They can serve the living God. And unless we're serving the living God by remembering and honoring our freedom and celebrating God, we're in Egypt land. And we're under the plagues. You know, frogs and locusts and all that good stuff, you know, culminating in the slaying of the firstborn. Well, yeah. And isn't that what happens? Think about it. When you play dumb, what do? You slay the firstborn. Every single time you kill it. What's the firstborn? Well, the only begotten, or the Christos, or the Christ in you, that which is at one with God and remembers that. You kill that. Every single time. Okay? Okay, but God is life. So celebrate it. Be free. Be with God while you're in the body. There's a way. Don't play dumb. You're responsible for what you hold in your thoughts and your mind and your emotions and in your unconscious. You're very responsible. There, except for, I don't know if I'm exaggerating or not, but maybe two or three souls on this planet, every single soul on this planet is at the effect of all that, of their thoughts, of their mind, of their emotions, all at the effect of it. Okay? This ain't a prison. You know, so many heavy-duty spiritual people see this as a prison, and we got to get out of the prison of matter. Well, it's only a prison if you think it is, okay? Because God, in His mercy and His kindness, He's made sure that the warden has a key for you. And He makes sure that that warden, okay, is around for you. And He makes sure that you, when you want to get that key, you know how to reach the warden. God makes sure of that. And every soul has the ability to get the key. Okay? And of course, the key is initiation into the sound current, because that's the only way home. Because I say so? No. Okay? But because the one who was the Christ Jesus taught us so. Wide is the way, but narrow is the gate. Okay? But also, let's not be stupid. And let's not walk around going, well, I don't want to do initiation, and I don't want to... Fine. So don't be stupid and lay karma upon yourself, more karma. You're still responsible for your thoughts and for your feelings and for your imaginations and your unconscious and what you hold there and where you place your focus. You're responsible. Start with that. You know? If you don't want to take the key, at least admire the view, because the door is open. You know, start with that. But do something on the road to freedom. Okay, because you're going to discover that the road is very well paved and that you're already free, and that's your inherent state. And the freedom consists in monitoring and being vigilant against your own enslavement. So really, if I were to tell you, you know, you got $1 million, so all you have to do is be vigilant that you don't lose the $1 million that are in your pocket. Well, boy, you go like this. You'd go to the tailor and make sure that he sewed the pockets tight. You know, you'd make very sure that you'd have the $1 million and keep that in your possession, okay? Well, that's how freedom is. We have that. That's our innate state. And we have to do a very simple thing of making sure we don't lose it by enslaving ourselves to a lot of fear and pain and doubt and hurt and separation, etc., etc. Okay, but we set it up just the opposite. We set it up like we are in Egypt land and we have to get free. Okay, well, first of all, you can't do anything. Okay, consciousness cannot do anything by itself. It is only through God's grace that it does it. Okay, so you're setting up a hopeless task and you're reversing the truth. You don't have to get free. You are free. You just have to monitor it celebrate it and enjoy it. So you can be dumb or you can be free. But you can't be dumb and free. And that's what freedom is all about. I'll choose freedom any day. Okay, we'll stop with that. Okay, we'll give me a minute. We'll take question and answers, and we have, at least here, we have a whole new mic to show off. So if you're going to ask a question here, you'll have to hold a mic. Hopefully not break into karaoke. So. Okay, well let's start again.
Could you guys say something so I can see if we can hear you?
Nobody's
good. We can hear you.
Do I still need this? I thought this was high tech and we have to wait for it to turn. Go, where should I go?
You can start.
Oh, I can start. Okay, why don't we take a question out in phone land and then we'll go here and we'll alternate for a few questions. Okay, would anyone in phone land like to start? Okay, an easy night. You sure? Okay. All right, well, would someone here like to ask a question? At least one question so we can show off this silly mic. Come on.
Question. You talked about that thoughts
really makes a difference, doesn't it?
And you're still gonna have to repeat my question. You talk.
And what's the point of this thing again? If I have
this
to,
is for the tape.
That's for tape. For
I'll see if I can get closer and ask it. You talked about how thoughts and feelings carry over from other lifetimes, and that much of our life is an effect of past lives. And I was just, when you were talking about that, it made me think about being an initiate of the Light of the Most High, because there is a lot more freedom in terms of our life. We're not so much, we are at the effect, but I know that there's a lot more freedom in there. I was wondering if you could comment more on that.
Okay. Well, first the correction. I didn't say that most of our life we're at the effect of. It's really all of it. And yet we're here also for an important thing and reason, and that is God's grace and the opportunity to know Him and go home. Okay. What initiation does is tells you the door is open, it charges the soul spiritually, starts the awakening process, okay? But then your responsibility is to work it, and it strengthens the soul and starts the lifting and the clearing and the movement unto the Spirit and unto God and into the knowing of who and what you are. So it's kind of like the difference between lifting weights or doing training to strengthen the body and not, for someone who's strong or whatever the condition of the body is. Yeah, you have that condition, you know, you're strong, but guess what? You get stronger, okay? And with initiation, you get to recognize and strengthen the part of you that has the choice to be free or be dumb, be free or be enslaved, and you get to strengthen that, okay? You get to hang out, get more of an opportunity, as it were, to hang out and be with God while you're in the body, okay? And you get to exercise your responsibility more. You know, and what happens many times is people have these experiences and they'll use them to go, oh my God, that's it, and they'll give up, okay? Well, dumb, because it's like, okay, not doing that anymore. Well, yeah, you are, because every soul goes home to God, and you've just created another embodiment in which to progress and strengthen yourself. So it's an opportunity to strengthen the spirit that you are, be with God while you're in the body, and come to know Him directly. And it starts the process of the soul's what's called overcoming the world. Or, in other words, what I've talked about is given into that which sits in the negative worlds, the thoughts, the feelings, the fear, the separation, etc. And one has to be steadfast in that. And really, it also strengthens us in our love of God beyond just the emotions, but the deep inner residual sense of joy that resides in the soul. And that's our true nature. And it strengthens the joy within us, okay? You know, initiation is God's gift to us, and what we do with initiation is our gift to God. And really, since God lives in us as us, it's our gift to ourselves, because that's who we are. So initiation has a lot to do with strengthening who we are and enabling us to know ourselves as spirit, as God. And it starts, the nature of the soul is not separation, okay, but what? Well, detachment, okay, and the soul starts to detach from the pull of all the negative realms and all those things we were talking about. And it starts to gain power and power and power. So really, it helps if you use the gift, you open the gift, it's a spiritual muscle builder. And it strengthens the soul and enables the soul to finish and complete its karmic journey, which is to know itself and go home to God. So what initiation does is help you fulfill the very purpose of life. That's just it. A small gift.
I just had something to add, another question off of that. But in terms of creating in our everyday life, like, you know, without initiation, we're going through just being at the effect of our karma. And as initiates, we're going through life. Are we still only at the effects of our karma, or is there, I know that there is a choice involved as to how to respond to it, but I just feel in my own life, just being freer and freer, and that I'm not only at the effect of my karma. There seems to be more going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure actually why you're asking that question, because at least I was hoping that what it said before about initiation was that it frees you from that. It enables you to have more choice and not be moment to moment at the effect of it, okay? But you are at the effect of it in the sense that that's what brought you into this lifetime. And all the stuff that you're working through, okay? Obviously, it has to do with your fate karma, that karma which is for this lifetime. And it also has to do with stored karma, future karma. So, yeah, of course, you're all at the effect of it. But, and this is the key, but you start detaching from that, or you're not engaged in it. And you start to separate from that. And you makes it easier to choose away from it. And it has to do with disidentifying with that whole karmic pattern. Okay? And also, I think what you said, too, represents to me a great misunderstanding of initiate, and I'll use the sort of the way it's sort of presented, initiate versus non-initiate, okay? Non-initiates, you know, they're not these powerless little creeps, you know, and, oh, boy, you're so lucky you got initiated. That's not it at all, okay? If you choose not to be initiated or play dumb, that's fine, but you're still responsible and you still have choice. And any soul has the ability to drop the hurt, the pain, the negativity, and turn to God at each and every moment and hang out with God within itself. Every soul has that ability. You take initiation, you're strengthening that, and you're fulfilling the divine purpose in life and completing your karmic journeys here, fine. But for souls not completing their karmic journeys and not fulfilling their purpose here, they still can be with God at each moment. And that's a strengthener. So it's not correct to set it up as, oh, initiates can do it and non-initiates can't. No, not at all. Non-initiates had better do it, because they don't have the grace upon them as initiates do. So they really better do it. I mean, that's just the simple truth. Every soul is as powerful as the next one, but when you're asleep, you're asleep. And being asleep or ignorance, ignoring your true heritage, you're still responsible for the lore and the fulfillment of it, and you're not exempt. Okay, but to be honest, if you have a chance to take initiation, and if you can, if it's within your integrity, and it's not just going to be something, oh, like you go do, but you honestly work it, and it's a gift you give to God and to yourself, why don't you take it? It'll serve you in good stead. But everything can serve us in good stead. If my soul weren't initiated, the fact that I dropped my anger at Edward and I'm not creating that, that serves me in very good stead. If not only for the reason that, hey, I won't be at the effect of that in future embodiments. Well, that's a little less karma for me that I created. Well, thank you. And that's my responsibility. So we all have that responsibility, whether the soul is an initiated one or not. Because we all have that power. Okay. Good. Okay. Any questions from out there in phone land?
I have a question if no one else has one.
Good. Okay. Go ahead.
When you were talking about internal vigilance, meaning always working with our basics, I was working within our guidelines, I was working within boundaries that have been set up for our protection. Is that what you meant?
That's definitely a part of it, sure. And I'm glad you said internal vigilance. I call it eternal vigilance, but that's more than fine. That's a good description. And it also has to do if a soul's not initiated with what we just talked about, with guarding against engaging in the negativity and being involved with it and choosing to focus on the spirit that you are, choosing to drop it, choosing to surrender it. You know, we don't yet understand the full meaning and the power of surrender. Surrender is where the power is. We live in the West and we think it's just the opposite. Surrender is weakness and power is dominance. Well, that's crazy. The power is in the surrender. And that's what eternal vigilance is all about. Surrendering everything and anything that isn't God. The power is in surrender. Okay, well, good. Appreciate the question. Is there another question here? And no, can't show off our mic some more? Okay.
Dr. Lane, in a situation like what we have presently in the Middle East, where there isn't a surrender, let's say, on the part of people who, quote, hate the Jews. Been a training from generations that this is the enemy, period.
Yeah, and those were the same people who are hated now were the haters before. What goes around comes around. What else is new, kiddo? Let's see. You got to watch this, you know, this particular situation going on in the Middle East. Well, that's crap. It didn't just start now. It's this situation, Vicky, is that they're at the effect of stuff they put in motion a long time ago. A very long time ago. You know, and it's interesting. If you listen to what they're saying, they use exactly the words that they give it away. They call it, you know, the infidels and the crusaders and all that. Well, that's exactly when it started. So, yeah, the situation, you know, to walk around going, well, these people hate the Jews. Well, there's a balancing going on. I mean, it's part of their learning not to hate. But the victims of these hatred, you know, the hatred, they're the one, they put this in motion too. They're choosing to keep it going. No one's innocent here. No one's not responsible here. You know, you got to watch that stuff. That doesn't wash it spiritually. You know, no one's self-righteous here.
They don't even know me.
That's a good enough reason.
Then where is the surrender in me? I just surrender to the outward hate and keep loving myself in spirit?
Well, yeah, you surrender to that, but you also surrender hating them.
Oh, okay.
And not enslaving yourself that way. See, and what you're seeing in the Middle East is the refusal to surrender. Total refusal to surrender. Spiritually and give it up. Give up the hatred. You know? I mean, it's no accident that Israel could have been in three locations. And they chose this one. And that was a karmic choice. It keeps the karma going. Okay, but it's all about learning to surrender and turning the other cheek and loving your neighbor and loving yourself. That's what it's about. I mean, and just on a very mundane level, do you really think you're going to have peace by blockading people and preventing them from getting to their jobs and making them poorer and poorer and hating you? I mean, I was there and I saw, you know, elegantly dressed Arab women in public humiliated by soldiers. You know, they put their hands down their panties to search them. You know, in the most obvious way, you know, or an old man who could barely walk, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a difference between doing your job and doing it out of hatred and contempt and scorn. And that's what has to be surrendered and have to walk into to love. But these situations, I mean, we had the same thing in like Yugoslavia. You know, you had the Catholics, you had the Orthodox, the Christian Orthodox, and you had the Muslims, all at each other's throats. Well, that didn't just start, you know. That was from before, when there were forced conversions. I don't know if you remember, but nobody could broker a peace. No peace could be brokered at all. It went on for years, okay? The only peace happened, I believe, for 2 days, or it might have been 3 days, when they got 10,000 Jews out of Montenegro or out of Yugoslavia on the trains. 3 days of peace. No shooting, no killing, no nothing. Well, that's not obvious that it's karma? You know? I mean, the Jews get safe passage and everybody else is killing everybody else? That's pretty ironic and pretty funny, but it didn't start now. So every situation is at the effect, whether it's individually or collectively. You know? And hating the Jews, it's irrelevant. That soul has to learn not to hate whoever it is. Okay? And those people in the situation and in those countries, they're not just born there by accident. You know, and it's the same thing with race. One race oppresses the other, you come back around, you experience the other end of it, etc., etc. It's all about learning the same thing. You know? I mean, those people who know and have a vast panorama of history, no, the blacks were the dominant race and they oppressed the whites. Okay, so now it comes back around and karma goes back around and back around. But it's not the point of who's on top and who's on the bottom and who's oppressing whom. It has to do all with surrendering, you know, and you know all about the old Atlanteans, right? And how they oppressed people. You know, they would even do operations to oppress them, you know? All these highfalutin surgeons and big money earners and all that kind of stuff, they're all Atlanteans, balancing out that karma. My mother wanted me to be a doctor. I was really going to be successful. You're just balancing your karma. You know, old Atlantean. Nothing to write home about. Okay, but it goes round and around and around until we choose to surrender. Until we choose to surrender, okay? And just finish this up by saying war unleashes karmic flooding. War unleashes karmic flooding. Okay, and then when the Bible says, you know, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall men learn war anymore, for all men, both great and small, shall know the power of the Lord. Talking about this karmic flooding, that the power of God is the power of our being responsible, and the karmic Lord, laws. And this is what happens when we do war. We unleash karma, and you can see the wars that are around now. You brought up the situation in the Middle East and these poor, pathetic people. Well, they're not poor, pathetic people. They unleashed war before. And so now there's the karmic flooding coming in. You know, the World Trade Center didn't just happen. That was put into motion a long time ago. Okay? And it unleashes the karmic flood. We're all responsible. You see, and what happens is, just like during the talk talked about, well, you know, isn't it funny we create this karma and then it... We're at the effect of it, like, I don't know how many lifetimes later, and we've forgotten that we're at the effect of it, and we don't even know we've created it, you know? Well, same thing on a mass scale. It's no different. And it goes round and round and round, because that's what karma does, okay? But I don't teach karma. I teach freedom and the way of grace, and that's the only way out. There is only one way out, and the way out is knowing God and knowing yourself as spirit by exercising the gift. You know, wide is the way and narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life. There's only one way, and that's the way of the Christ. And that way of the Christ is the atonement of the consciousness. And that's why Jesus the Christ taught the sound current. And those are the true teachings. Okay, I won't get into it other than to say, you know, by the 4th or the 5th century, the church realized it would be put out of business, and so it just destroyed these people. It held trials and fed them to the lions, those that were practicing the true Gnostic way, Gnosticism, Gnosis, knowing yourself, the non-duality way that the Christ Jesus taught. I'm the Word made manifest. He's the sound current. I'm the Holy Spirit made manifest. I'm in the manifested world. I'm in the world of form. Okay, and that's what we all have to know. We are the Christ, and that's where the freedom is. The dumbness is pretending we're not, you know, or identifying with anything other than that. And that's why there's so many problems, identifying with things other than God. You know, I'm a Hindu. I'm a Muslim. I'm gay, I'm green, I'm Korean, I'm German, I'm French. I don't know, who cares? You know? Shove it up, you know? I mean, who cares what you are? You know? That's your form. And if that was really true, then guess what? That form would go with you before God. But only the soul goes before the God. Okay, I'll take one more question and then we'll call it a night. In shining armor. Any from here or the peanut gallery or? No? Okay.
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I'm glad you, that was really helpful, amazing, what you just said about everything. And what I was thinking about was when you talked about forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized how important what you said really struck me, that you know, in just like how we're untrained to forgive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really realized that, like, in my own life I feel like I have my own little wars going on because I haven't forgiven certain people. And I guess, you know, I just wanted to, I guess, partly to just thank you for bringing that up. And it sounds like forgiveness starts with surrender. Because part of me thinks, like, well, how can I forgive? Because I have to do something about the situation.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yep, forgiveness says you don't have to do anything other than let go and trust and surrender the stuff within you. You don't have to change the situation or change anybody. You're not going to be able to anyway. Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, so it sounds like everything, you know, once again, starts with ourselves.
That's right, and ends with yourself.
Yeah. So, I guess I just wanted to say that really, I really feel like a well sort of bursting up inside of me, of even another layer of freedom, because of just that whole thing of knowing that I have that ability to forgive.
Totally. That's, you know, right.
You know what I mean?
I sure do.
Thank you.
I sure do. And I really lovingly suggest you exercise it ASAP, because that helps move you into greater freedom.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. And just as an aside, somebody was going through a situation, and I said, well, you know, it's going to be very important for this person to forgive that person. And what I meant by that was, well, gosh, if he doesn't, then he's going to enslave himself. The soul is going to enslave itself and cause itself many more embodiments because of the resentment, etc., towards the other person. So freedom is a lot to do with surrender and forgiving and being smart. Otherwise, you're putting yourself in Egypt land. Okay. Was there one more question here? Or?
Actually, it wasn't a question. It was just kind of a
tool. Okay, hold on. We have to show off some more here.
You're going to have to repeat this.
Oh, okay. It's not really a question, but I was just going to say that this reminded me of the tools for living free.
Okay.
This and just how they're just a wonderful tool for.
Okay. Well, the statement was this reminded this person of tools for living free. And so it's not a paid political announcement, but I suggest you use them because those were designed to help you with your freedom and help you start to realize that you are free and help to maintain it. And it's part of what Vicky would call internal vigilance and I call eternal vigilance. So why don't we just call it eternal internal vigilance, you know? And that's what it does. And it's our responsibility as souls. Period. End of sentence. Okay, so I'll stop with that and give our high-tech equipment an opportunity to rest before it explodes. And okay, so let me say good.